Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover. With John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Chuckery Show coming to you live on this Tuesday evening. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. We will, in 20 minutes from now, talk to Pete Futak from collegefootballnews.com as we look back to last night's game, the college football season as a whole, and then obviously we move now into the 12-team playoffs, so we'll see what that brings. This is your night look, though, at all things Atlanta Falcons. It is the Falcons flyover. So we know who the teams are going to be that the Falcons are going to play next year. And not just that, but as far as home road split. So the Falcons will have 9 games at home and 8 games on the road. So besides the divisional games, we play the AFC West and we play the NFC East. That's the AFC and the full division that we play out of the NFC as well. And then you have the 3 wild card games. So who will be coming to Atlanta to Mercedes-Benz Stadium? Obviously the Panthers, Saints, and Buccaneers, the 3 divisional games. And this is a good home schedule. And especially if you want to spend some money and see some of the better teams in the NFL. The Cowboys will be here. The Giants will be here. The Seattle Seahawks will be here. The Kansas City Chiefs will be here. The San Diego Chargers and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And depending on how – let me ask you a question, Oren. Depending on how things go, you've got the Cowboys, Chiefs, Steelers all coming here, and the Giants all coming here to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. If you don't get the right coach and things don't go well, what do you think the split will be attendance-wise for those teams coming here versus what our fans will be?
Ooh.
Cowboys, Chiefs, Steelers, Giants.
That's Cowboys and Steelers will be
a lot.
45, 55, us, them, easily.
Yes. Yep.
Chiefs might be a 50-50 even split just because they travel well, but
let me ask you, will Taylor Swift come here? Assuming they're all together.
If they're still together and she didn't have plans, why not? It's Atlanta. Atlanta's a fun city.
Absolutely.
I'm sure she's had fun here
and,
before.
And look, she played 3 nights here.
She did. In that very arena.
Absolutely.
In that very stadium.
Yes. I would be all for if Taylor Swift comes here. That would be cool. Like, again, you get people in the building.
Would that be the highlight of the game then, John Chuckery, then? Not the actual result, but seeing Taylor Swift at the game?
Well, here's the thing. We're not going to play all the vagabond offenses that we did this year.
No, we're not.
Yeah. So
gonna get several MVP candidates from this year and several MVP winners from before.
Yeah. And so now here's the funny thing. Is I think our road schedule is easier than our home schedule. Again, Panthers, Saints, Buccaneers, but it's at the Broncos in Denver and at the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, those won't be easy just because of the East Coast, West Coast travel and things like that. And depending on the time of the year, you know, Denver may or may not be inclement weather, but those franchises are obviously not very good. And again, we'll see what the Raiders do for their coaching hire, and maybe that turns things around. But as of now, those aren't great franchises. And we go to Washington. So, you know, again, they're looking for their next head coach. We will go to Minnesota. Obviously, a lot of history with the Falcons and Vikings, you know, in the Homer Dome in the old days. What building do they still play in the Metrodome for football? Where do they play now? They have their own stadium, right? So, again, compared to and then we'll go to Philadelphia. That'll be the tough one, like going up to Philly. So, two things about the schedule, just as far as home and away. I think there's a lot better teams coming to Atlanta than we go on the road to face. What stadium are they in?
It's U.S. Bank.
Okay. Because I know they play in Target Field for the Twins.
That's the Twins,
yeah. That's the Twins'
now,
Target Field.
U.S. Bank is where the old Metrodome used to be.
Okay.
But
Which leaked and had everything else going
with it. The ceiling fell and all that good stuff. Yeah.
Yep. But I think we have a lot tougher teams coming to the Mercedes-Benz Stadium than we have on the road. That one in Philly will be very interesting. But again, it's not going to be all of the vagabond quarterbacks. If Kirk Cousins is still a Minnesota Viking, you'll see him, Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, Pat Mahomes, whatever the Steelers have, Justin Herbert, Geno Smith. Like, again, this won't be the vagabonds of the world as far as offensive football goes. We're going to have some good teams that we're going to have to play. So, interesting look at all of this. All right, the betting odds for the next Falcons head coach. Do you know who has the best odds right now, Oren, to be the next Falcons head coach?
Gonna go ahead and say Jim Harbaugh.
No.
I'm gonna say Eric Bieniemy.
No. It's Bill Belichick, plus 300.
Oh, gosh. I don't know if you saw this. Bill Simmons today, you know, Bill Simmons of the Ringer, all that good stuff.
Used to be ESPN and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I was taking a walk, and he offered a suggestion for the Falcons that they trade their 8th overall pick to New England to acquire one Bill Belichick.
Lord have mercy. Ben Johnson is number 2 at plus 400. Eric Bieniemy is 3 at plus 500. Jim Harbaugh is plus 800. Kellen Moore is plus 800 as well. That's the Chargers offensive coordinator. He was obviously with the Cowboys as well. Bobby Slowick is plus 900. That's what? He's the is he the Texans DC?
OC.
Yeah.
OC.
Or he's the OC for the Texans? Yeah. OC for the Texans. Mike McDonald, plus 900. Raheem Morris is plus 1,000.
Yeah, they're not bringing Raheem back.
No. Dan Quinn is plus 1,000. Quinn back here either. Brian Callahan is plus 1,000 as well. And then Brian Flores is plus 1,000. Mike Vrabel's plus 1,000. And then you go, you know, from there. So, again, I'm not in favor of bringing Bill Belichick in here, but right now he's got the best odds to be the next Falcons head coach, according to the betting lines. All right, let's look at some mock drafts. Ryan Wilson just put out his newest mock draft. He's got in round 1 for the Atlanta Falcons. He's still got Michael Penix. Can I tell you, I'm not taking Michael Penix at number 8. I'm not. Will I be disgusted by that pick? No. I don't think Michael Penix is a first-round talent in the NFL. And I was more convinced about that last night. And he's starting – and it's not a matter of he's going to move up and down on board, stuff like that. If he, you know, again, injury history, his short to immediate, intermediate throws, that's going to be a problem. Beautiful deep ball, no doubt about that. You know, obviously, tremendous season. But I just don't see him as a first-round talent. I don't see him – if you're picking at 8 – I don't see him in the same class as Drake May, Caleb Williams, and Jaden Daniels. I don't see him in that same version. So again, we'll see, you know, what happens with all of this. But I'm a little bit less sold on Michael Penix, you know, as a first round kind of guy. Let's see here, Richie Bradshaw from SI.com. He's got, let's see here, who's he got? He says that the Bears and the Falcons make a trade with, obviously, Justin Fields coming here to Atlanta Falcons. So, again, listen, there doesn't – if you're going to trade for Justin Fields, I don't know that he's going to cost you a first-round pick. I don't know that he's got enough cachet right now that he demands a first-round pick. The Bears will certainly ask for it, but if you don't have to give up your first-round pick and you want to trade for Justin Fields, that's fine. I'm still of the opinion that, you know, you have to draft a quarterback at eight. Even if you get Russell Wilson, if you get Kirk Cousins, if you get Justin Fields, you still draft a quarterback at eight because there's way too much unknown with all of those guys versus, because again, Kirk Cousins not going to play for fish heads and rice. You're going to have to eventually give Russell Wilson some money. Justin Fields, you'll get him for cheap for a year, and then you got to pick up his fifth-year option. That's $22 to $23 million, and then you'd have to sign him after that. And that's going to be $35, $40 million. And again, you know, if it doesn't work out, you know, you can walk away after the fifth year potentially. But I just, you know, even if you're going to trade for a quarterback, go draft a guy at number eight or move up in the draft and go get your guy. All right, when we get back, we'll talk to Pete Futek from College Football News, Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and the Odyssey.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at a Chuck Free Show. Hanging out in the Key Studios with you. Tuesday nights. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. We're going to open up the phone lines back up at the top of the hour. We'll get into a discussion about where the Falcons go in the draft. But obviously last night, Michigan wraps up the national championship. Now a lot of questions about what the future of Jim Harbaugh is going to be. I say bring him to Atlanta, but that may be, you know, a far stretch to actually make happen. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to the publisher of collegefootballnews.com, our buddy Pete Futek, joining us. And you can follow Pete on his personal Twitter page, at Pete Futek. And Pete, appreciate a few minutes here in Atlanta. As, you know, look, it was good old-fashioned football last night. Line of scrimmage dominated. And, you know, for all the glitz and glam of what Michael Penix and that offense can be, at the end of the day, it was Michigan running the football and beating their quarterback up in Penix.
Yeah, first of all, I have to ask, so why do you want Harbaugh as an NFL head coach?
Okay.
Because like, that seems to be the popular thing, because everyone seems to want, like, oh, I want Jim Harbaugh. But, like, when was the last time an NFL head coach really made everything good?
So they've never hired a head coach with NFL experience in the Arthur Blank tenure. I want a guy that, again, they've been very clear about they want to win right away. And wherever Harbaugh's gone, he has won. He's also a dominant line of scrimmage coach. Stanford, Michigan, San Francisco, he's always built great lines of scrimmage. While we've been pretty good last year, again, we've not been the type of franchises that he's been a part of, you know, in his career. So I like the experience. I like the fact that he's a winner, and I like the fact that he's a line of scrimmage dominant guy.
But did he do that at the NFL, or is that the general manager side of things? Well, and like, I get it in college. So, what I'm getting to on this is that the NFL is a sucker bet for coaches, and I don't quite see why. Like 10 years ago, yeah, I mean, because that's how you got paid. You know, that's where you went to the next level. And now these guys are getting paid so much more in a lot of situations. You're master of your entire universe, and they're not giving anybody – no one's giving Jim Harbaugh any general manager duties here. So he's kind of stuck with the players that he's got, and it doesn't work no matter how good a coach you are. And everyone seems to, like, get all into the, oh, I want this coach, as opposed to the coach who just sort of is kind of like the, you know, the latest 14-year-old whiz kid offensive coordinator type. So it's been kind of interesting to watch how this has gone so far.
Well, I think, Pete, the other thing, too, is, look, given what we saw here in Atlanta yesterday, I think the owner of this team at 81 years old is more open to swinging for the fences than he probably was, say, 20 years ago. And you know, if you have, again, based upon what we know with Terry Fontenot's role, if you brought a Jim Harbaugh in, I'm not saying he'd be subservient, but they would be in simpatico about what the vision that Jim Harbaugh wants. You know, again, and I know it didn't end well in San Francisco. Trent Baalke, who by the way, you know, is hanging on by a thread down in Jacksonville for some of his craziness. But, you know, that was a complete train wreck. But they did build a great franchise. I mean, they and again, that's where it's at. I mean, again, if you want to be a good franchise, be like the 49ers. And again, there's a reason why they've had two head coaches and three different quarterbacks and been to five of the last 10 championship games. That's not by accident that's happened.
Yeah. I'm going to be an 81-year-old owner of an NFL team someday, and it's going to happen. So if I'm Atlanta right now, I'm giving you sports talk radio content here, but a topic. But I'm here in Chicago. Don't you just give up everything to get Justin Fields on the cheap, and then just say, hey, we're getting a young, talented quarterback now with good young receivers around him, and let's see what we can do. But I get it. Like, and that to bring it to the overall arching point here is that, yeah, when did Michigan get good? Of course, there's all the controversy, and there's that aspect of it. But if you remember, when 2020 wasn't that long ago, when COVID year, nothing was working, the team was dead, they couldn't beat Ohio State. Because remember, I was a part of the Jim Harbaugh apologist club. Like, this guy's actually winning here at a place that hasn't won for a long time. And there was a game against Penn State where they were getting drilled in the first half, and they came out in the second half and was kind of like, all right, here we go. And then all of a sudden the offensive line took over. It was like, where's that been? Like, where has that power been in the Harbaugh era? Because it was never there. And all of a sudden something sort of flipped. And then they went to the transfer portal, and they got the one or two guys. They got the Virginia center. They got, you know, they got the Arizona State to tackle for this year, and they just got the right guys just to fill in the blanks, and all of a sudden that offensive line became dominant, and it all started to come together at once, and they weren't being beaten on the lines anymore. And then they progressed into this season where I can never remember a team that was more consistently great in all facets of the game, except maybe at the downfield passing game, but that was by design, than this Michigan team was this year.
So how much pressure then shifts over to Ryan Day, who, look, I'm a Northeast Ohio guy. My entire family is diehard Buckeyes, and, you know, I grew up in that environment. But, you know, again, I've said before, Pete, I don't think Ryan Day wins a national championship at Ohio State. I don't see it happening, and it's not because of talent or anything like that. I don't see that he's going to win a national championship. But I think that seat, say what you will, got even a little bit hotter last night.
Well, a kid got to a national championship once, and he was a Noah Ruggles field goal against your Bulldogs down there away from winning one last year. So he's close. I mean, you know, now I've shifted, by the way, to the Ryan Day Apologist Club. You know how hard it is? It's actually insane. I'm going to get all my numbers wrong here because I completely forgot them, so forgive it, but I'm going to try to get close to the pin. It is insanely hard to find a head coach to hire who comes in and wins at least 60% of his games for 5 years and is still around. It's really rare. There's only like 18 of those guys who are around, and most of them are like either Kirk Ferentz or else they're guys who, you know, just are hanging on by a thread. They don't really – it's hard to find, much less the guys who win 83% of their games. And until – you know, give them a break on the Missouri game because, you know, that was a weird game where they didn't have any guys left. But if you look at the Ryan Day era, it's insane who he's lost to. Michigan a couple times, three times. He lost to national championship Alabama team. He lost to a Clemson team that played for the national championship. He doesn't lose to Maryland. He doesn't lose to Purdue. He's not. Those teams have been really close. And I get what you're saying, and Ohio State fans are certainly angry. But the goalposts are about to change, because now it goes from being, oh, my gosh, you've got to be 12-1 and win your Power 5 conference championship, to be, you have to be 10-2 and be ranked in the top 11 and get into the college football playoff. Because, look, going forward, if we got the top 11 teams and whatever, you know, kids table group of five champion gets, you know, thrown a cookie, well, look, this year, I know how it worked. I know Georgia lost. Georgia, a fully functional Ohio State, either one of those two, I'm not betting against them. So, like, the teams with the talent going forward, and Ryan Day can certainly do that, it's really hard to do what Ryan Day's been able to keep going at Ohio State.
But you know what the difference is, Pete? And I don't disagree, and I know what the numbers are. But you know what the difference is? Jim Tressel and Urban Meyer didn't lose to the Michigans and say what you will, you know, but let's face it, Ohio State season comes down to one or two games, and that's what it comes down to. And if you don't look, Georgia's season came down to, I still think Georgia's the best team in the country, but their season came down to beating Alabama. And if you don't beat Alabama, then, you know, again, you set yourself up for those kinds of things. And obviously Kirby's been magnificent, but it's just when you're at that level, and there's nothing that Georgia does that Ohio State can't do. Like, they have everything, right? And they have all the history and tradition of a college football program. But when you have coaches that didn't lose to those, you know, the Michigans and stuff of the world, that's the big difference. And that's what people are frustrated
about. Oh, it's the John Cooper effect.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yep. Look, I go on regularly in radio spots in Columbus and Cleveland. I go on. And I have tried for, the last 6 years, and it has not worked at all to try to convince them that the Michigan game is just another game. Look, again, I get it. Of course it matters. Of course that's everything to the fan base and the rivalry and stuff. But again, they lost to Michigan last year. And again, field goal goes straight. Ohio State's the national champion. You know, so like yes, you have to beat Michigan, but going forward, you don't have to beat Michigan to win the national title in a new college football playoff era. But I get it. I absolutely get it.
Are you a fan of the 12-team playoff? Do you like the dynamic that this is going to bring, and that, you know, what looks to be in the changing landscape of college football? You know, you just mentioned about the regular season. Well, you know, if Michigan Ohio State is just another game, that's not what it's been, you know, in the last handful of years. It's you know, again, they what's the old saying in the South here is, football is not a matter of life and death. It's more important than that.
Yeah, but, like, again, look at, you know, Alabama getting to winning a national championship when they didn't win the SEC championship. So it's absolutely true. But I get it, but to answer your question, I'm a huge fan of this. I don't like much, and then usually college football gets it wrong, but you've got to have a mechanism where you can play your way in. There's got to be a way where if you win your Power 5 conference championship, you know you are going to get in to avoid this Florida State thing of this year, and that's what's happening going forward. We know now, first of all, it's going to make college football bigger, because in the era now of the expanded college football playoff, we know this year, had Iowa upset Michigan, Iowa would have been in the expanded college football playoff. If you had Oklahoma State somehow beating Texas, it would have been in the expanded college football playoff. So that's going to serve as a sort of first round of the playoffs, and it's going to be just that much more massive. And then I think we're all underestimating just how huge this expanded college football playoff is going to be come December of next year, because it's going to start in mid-December. The games are going to be massive. They're going to matter more, and it's going to keep on going. And the national interest in this, it's not going to be March Madness. It's not going to be NFL, but it is going to be just that big. And so finally, if you can't get in the top four in this format, it's hard. You kind of got hosed. There's an argument to be had. If you can't get in the top 11, you know, no one's going to really cry for you that hard. So I think it's a good way to kind of bridge that gap and keep going forward and take it out of the hands of the judges at least a little bit.
Last question for you, Pete. You know, let's fast forward a little bit and let's talk about next year. Who do you think is kind of the top one or two teams going into next season? Is it as simple to say Georgia and Alabama, or, you know, is there somebody else that you really got your eye on?
I have some of my really good friends who, by the way, happen to be Michigan fans, who just aren't into college football at all. They're total NFL fans. Their total joke, which they keep doing with me, it's always funny when they do it too. It's like, who's good this year? Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, USC. Who's going to be good next year? Alabama, Georgia, and who's going to be good 20 years from now? We know how this is going. Yes, Georgia's going to be great. Alabama's going to be great. Ohio State's going to be great. But the bigger overarching question, kind of what we were just talking about, is that's where the bar is set now. At the very least, you know, if you didn't get in the 14 college football playoff before, Georgia's still great. Like I said, Georgia got into it this year. I'm not betting against them. Or if Ohio, fully functional Ohio State got into it, yeah, how are you going to argue with them? Going forward, if you're not in the college football playoff, if you're Georgia, Alabama, Michigan, Ohio State, USC, now you've got the fan bases screaming about the head of the head coaches, as opposed to now where there's a little bit of wiggle room there, because you got to be at least in the show if you're one of those four monster or several monster programs.
And more importantly, the boosters will be the ones that will you know, be screaming loudest if you're not in the playoffs on a regular basis. Pete Futek is the publisher of collegefootballnews.com, one of my absolute favorite reads on the internet. Join me here on the waitfor.com hotline on Twitter at Pete Futek. And Pete, as always, thanks for a few minutes in Atlanta. Always a good conversation with you. We will chat again here soon as we get through the offseason.
Well, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. Have a great night.
You got it. When we come back, it will be time for What's Bugging Chukri. Oren, even I understand what streaming is. I'll explain that up next. Chukri in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 910 on the game, theodyssey.com. Hey. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chukri Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios with you on this Tuesday night. 404-726-0929, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. We're going to open up the phone lines coming up at the top of the hour as we get in the final hour of the program. We'll open the phone lines back up to you. I'm going to ask you, if the Falcons don't draft quarterback at 8, what position do you want to see them draft? So we'll get to all of that coming up at the top of the hour. Hawks tomorrow night, they will be at State Farm Arena against the Philadelphia 76ers. No Joel Embiid. He will not play again, second game in a row that he will not be available. Sixers right now are the number 3 seed, and let me see where we're at right now. We're right behind them, right? We're 12.
We're behind them, yes.
Yeah,
not
true.
Right,
yeah.
Behind.
Yeah,
them.
Not right behind them. But we are better than Charlotte. We're better than Charlotte or Detroit, or who's the other team at the bottom? Charlotte, Detroit, and who's the other one? Who's the other dreadful
Washington?
Team? Washington. Yeah. So yeah, we're at least better than those three teams, right?
But yay!
We're better than the 3-33 Detroit Pistons. Can you imagine?
They just lost Kay Cunningham for like a week and a half too.
Well, yeah, and they probably just shut him down. You know, said, you know, this season's not going. Again, when you're 3-33, Oren, like, who wants to go see that? Unless you want to see the other team.
Families.
I don't think even the families want to go. Like, they're like, yeah, you
groupies?
Know, we can order takeout and we can, you know, get. What do you call that? The door dish, you know, dish door or whatever.
Door dash.
Right, dish door and.
Door dash.
Right, whore dash or whatever it is. I mean, so did you dump that?
Absolutely, I did. You know what's bad? When you ask me if I dumped it.
I saw you reaching. I saw your right shoulder reach over. That wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, boy. Anyway, but I don't know who would go see the Detroit Pistons. But, again, Hawks basketball coming up tomorrow night, so no show tomorrow. We will be back on Thursday. A little bit of a short show. Are you here Thursday?
Maybe. I don't know. I have to double check that. Probably.
Okay.
I'm here a lot.
Well, we're only on, I think it's 8:45 is when we are off on Thursday, because it's Michigan State and Illinois college basketball. So we will throw to that at 8:45. So we'll be here for, you know, not quite 2 hours, you know, on Thursday. And then Hawks basketball coming back up on Friday. They host Indiana. And again, we said 6 of this next 7 is at home. You got to find a way to just pile up a bunch of wins at home before you start to get to March. And, you know, you're going to spend most of your time on the road. So we'll see what happens. But Hawks basketball tomorrow. We're back on Thursday. And then Hawks basketball on Friday as well. Believe it or not, MLK Day is Monday, right? Hawks and MLK Day.
That is correct. It is Monday.
They will be, is that San Antonio? Yeah, that's San Antonio that will be here. So that'll be the, I think it's like the 3 o'clock game or something like that on TNT.
And Wemby.
Yeah, Wemby. That's Wemby's only appearance here. So,
did you hear today, too, one of the hot new rumors out there?
What's that?
Antonio,
DeJounte Murray?
Yeah, would be interested in taking DeJounte back.
Yes, that's San Antonio would be interested in reacquiring DeJounte Murray. Didn't
you know
what
they wouldn't give back for him, though?
Yeah,
they wouldn't give three first-round picks for him.
That, so we'd get, like, honestly, we'd get their 12th man on the bench, a bag of balls, and, you know, I don't know, some water from the, what is that, Riverwalk? Yeah.
Ew, that's touristy water. Ew, I don't think I want that.
Do you like San Antonio?
Never been.
Really?
Never been to Texas.
San Antonio is a lot of fun. I like Riverwalk. I've been to the Alamo as well.
Okay.
I didn't get to the basement, though, but I have been to the Alamo. And it is small, and it's weird where it's located, like right in the downtown area. Like, there's a Ripley's Believe It or Not museum right across the street from the Alamo.
Ah, Believe It or Not, there's a Ripley's.
I mean, it's all right. You didn't get the basement reference.
I didn't get the basement reference. Yeah. I heard you. I just let that one go.
Yeah. Well, I'll send you another book.
Please don't.
All right. Speaking of good reading, let's get to something we call What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So one of our favorite guys, Mike Francesa, was, I guess, ranting earlier today about the idea of that, you know, this game on, is it Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday.
Okay. It's on the Peacock, and it's streaming on the Peacock.
Why did you just do exactly what I thought you were going to do?
It's spelled P-E-E-C-O-C-K.
No.
What?
No.
That's not how it's spelled?
That's not how it's spelled.
Oh, okay. How's it spelled?
It's P-E-A and then the back half.
So P-E-A and then C-O-C-K. What? That's how it's spelled, is it not?
So yeah, so streaming there? Please move past the spelling of that.
Speaking of P-E-E and streaming, so Francesa was ranting about the idea of that nobody wants to see that game because nobody does streaming. Let me ask you, in modern television world, does anybody not – I'm probably the only person that doesn't stream TV nowadays. Or I have Peacock because I watch the WWE Network. And I watch all the pay-per-views on Peacock. So I the reason I subscribe and I pay, again, I transferred, instead of paying $9.99 to the WWE Network, I pay the $9.99, and that's the premium. So you got a $4.99 and you got a $9.99. And I pay the extra because that's what I was already paying, and I do that to get the no commercials and stuff. Okay. But does anybody not stream TV nowadays? And
my mom.
Okay. If you want to watch Thursday Night Football, how do you have to watch Thursday Night Football?
Gotta watch it on Prime.
Okay. Is that free?
It's not.
Okay. So, again, the idea that you're going to have whatever, NBC, ABC, CBS, or whatever like that, is the only way that you watch TV in the year of our Lord, 2023, in modern-day TV viewing. It's ridiculous at its face. Now, here's what's even better, Oren, okay?
Okay, I'm listening.
Do you know what Mike Francesa started about a year or so ago?
His own streaming network?
Uh-huh.
Oh, did he really?
Was it free?
Probably not.
Oh.
If it's Mike Francesa, of course it's not free.
I believe it was $8.99 to stream his content on the app, on his app.
And I'm guessing that content is sort of like Bo Bach and like the facts of the day with something along those lines?
Yeah, it's probably like Mike probably handed out a block of granite weekly. He was, I don't know if he broadcast from
a sewer, a manhole?
From Timothy John's place.
Not the lodge.
No.
TJ's.
TJ's. Yes, Timothy John's, the former Atlanta Flame.
Continue, John Chuckery, please.
So again, the idea that Francesa is upset about the way of the world with all TV going, and the fact that already to watch the NFL, like, I guess he would be a Giants fan, right? Or he's a Giants Jets guy, right? He's a New Yorker. Okay. If the Jets and Giants played on Thursday night, how does he think he's going to sit down and watch that game? How does he think that he's going to watch that game on ESPN?
He's going to beam it directly into his brain?
Yeah.
Or?
Like, again, without him being at the stadium, how would he sit down in his Barca lounger petting his Cocker Spaniel? How would he get that game and watch that on TV?
You're going to have, what's it, the hot rumor now is that Warner is going to merge with Paramount. If they do that, then you're going to see a lot more football being streamed. So
yeah, I think that I read that the NFL is getting $110 million to stream this game on Peacock. Is that the rumor? Like, they're getting a whole boatload of money to stream that game. Again, you can like the NFL or not, but what do you think the NFL is in business to do?
Make money.
Get as much revenue for their ownership groups as possible. To make as much revenue for NFL teams as possible. And this is where I say that, you know, again, the studies have all been done. Even if nobody shows up to the games, the NFL makes money because the TV contracts.
It's just extravagant.
Just ridiculous. Yeah, it's just ridiculous. And that's why, versus a traditional pay-per-view model, the WWE has gone to just a subscriber service. You know, they do things like they get hundreds of millions of dollars to go to Saudi Arabia and stuff like that. Again, it's all about making the revenue. So, again, I don't know what world Frances is living in, but streaming on Peacock is one of the easier things you can do. Like, it's literally one of the easiest things that you can do. But, again, it's funny because just he's worried about paying for Peacock on a streaming service, but he was charging like $9, you know, a month for the app that he was selling to everybody. Hmm. What's that saying? Methinks we doth protest too much or something like that. So anyway. And what
the
is
lady
it?
Doth protest too much.
Okay. And what is it? P-E-A?
Yes. And you don't have to say anything else.
Okay.
You don't have to say anything else.
But it's Peacock.
That's, so. Every time you said that, I looked up at you.
Yeah, just because we're making eye contact, because we're a producer and...
No, it was because of producer, and it was literally, I would have my head down, and every time you said that, I looked up at you like, John, why are we saying it that way?
I'm going to text you over something here that... That's life.
John.
Coming over the top of the hour, I'm getting ahead of myself.
A little bit.
If the Falcons don't draft a quarterback at number 8, what position will you want? And again, I'm not counting trades or anything like that. If they have the 8th pick and they stay there and they don't draft quarterback, where are you going in the draft? 404-726-0929. We're opening up the phone lines to you again. Chuck Reed in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 929 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.